Tonight I'd like to cover two topics which are mentioned in the Gemara. One is the issue of, well, what are those nice pictures of Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chadchila, and the other is Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius. So let's try to see how much we can get on these topics. So the first, let me hand out a first batch of material having to do with Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chadchila. First on this problem, the halacha is very clear, right? When there's a notion of bitul barov, if there's a mixture of isur and heter, then under various circumstances, depending upon the nature of the mixture, depending upon the nature of the isur and so on, but most items, there are some small few, but most items have the property that if they're sufficiently diluted or sufficiently mixed, they are batel barov. Right? Most foodstuffs, lachbal. The two types of mixtures generally are what's known as yavesh biyavesh and lachbalach. Literally, that means dry and dry and liquid and liquid, but theoretically, it means the difference between a homogeneous mixture. In, for example, portion, one cc of chelev gets mixed up in your blender with 20 cc of olive oil, for example. That's what is known as lach balach. In the case of lach balach, there, in principle, there's no doubt in your mind as to what's happening here. Each portion of the mixture contains a certain percentage of the isur, but the halacha is that if that percentage is sufficiently small, then you're allowed to use the mixture. Sufficiently small, normally, for foodstuffs is echad b'shishim, for trumah it's echad b'me'ah, for olah it's echad b'matayim, it varies. But the principle, That's one nature, that's one form of bitul barov. The other form of bitul barov is really an issue of a case of doubt. One piece of meat which is not kosher, which is treif, gets mixed up in the butcher shop or somewhere in your kitchen with three or four other slices of meat which are definitely okay. So here on each individual slice that you take, you have a doubt as to whether it is the original Isur or whether more likely it is the Heter. So that's a question really of being allowed to operate probabilistically on each individual piece. But both of those, for our purposes today, both of those things are called Bitul Barov. And if you have a law like that, then obviously it's reasonable to expect that as an adjunct to that law, you're not allowed to deliberately provoke such a mixture. Right, if you have a large supply of tallow that you don't want to lose economically, presumably you should not be allowed to then just simply dilute it sufficiently to make it permissible. So it stands to reason that there should be a law of Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chadchila, and the Gemara in fact quotes such a law. Our problem tonight is to understand how that to what extent that law is delimited. That is, when does this principle of Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chadchila not apply? When can you be more lenient about it? Especially when you started off with a mixture that wasn't quite dilute enough, right? The milk fell into the pot, but it was just quite not that dilute enough. Are you allowed to add something to make it mutar? There's a little textual problem here, that our Gemara and Daf Dalet quotes this halacha of Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chadchila as if it comes from a Mishnah. At least our Mishnayot, that phrase does not explicitly appear. So let's start with the Mishnah, which is the source, and that's our first thing. The very last two sentences, the very last sentence in the fifth parak of Masechet Trumot, on my first page, it says, Sa'at Ruma Shenafla L'Pachot Mimeya. The very last two sentences of the last Mishnah in the fifth parak of Trumah. My first page of my handout. Sa'at Trumah shenafla lafachot mimeya. Remember, in order for Trumah to be batel barov, the mixture has to be less than 1%. And now you had a barrel of wheat of Truma that got mixed in with less than 100 times that amount of chulin. V'achar kach naflu sham chulin. And then after this mixture had taken place, an additional bit of mixture fell in. Im shogeg mutar v'im mezid asur. If mixture was, the added chulin was put in deliberately, then you're not allowed to apply the principle of bitul barov. Okay? The Mishnah itself literally doesn't say she'ein mevatlin isur l'chadchila, which would be a natural ending to this Mishnah, and the Rosh on this Mishnah points this out. Let's take a look the im mezid asur, very near the bottom of the page. This is Rav Shimshon. The im mezid asur. Hod amuinan b'reish peitza utnan ein mevatlin isur l'chadchila. Our Gemara says utnan ein mevatlin isur l'chadchila. Ein lashon ze shanui b'shum makom. This actual phrase doesn't appear anywhere in the Mishnah. Ela matnitin dehocha daikle. This is the origin of the halacha. Notice, by the way, that presumably our reading of this Mishnah should be relatively innocent. Namely, it says that the phrase im shogeg mutar is superfluous. It's just a literary device, right? It should just say im hosif b'mchuvan asur she'ein mevatlin isur l'chadchila. Reading this Mishnah, presumably the laws of Bitul Barov do not depend upon the eyes of the observer. There's no quantum mechanical principle, at least explicit in the Mishnah, which says that if a Rav had a Shaila, it will depend upon the state of knowledge of the person who is asking the question during the series of events that took place. In the later halacha, unfortunately, this notion of what was known or what was not known, or when did various amounts of information come in, do affect the halacha, but I think that we will skirt that problem entirely today. We'll see it maybe, but we won't discuss it. Okay, now let's go back to our Gemara on Daf Dalet. That's my second page here. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Masna, that's about 10 lines down from the top. Amar Rav Masna, Eitzim shenashru min hadekel l'toch hatanur. Some wood chips or twigs or limbs fell off the tree into the stove. It's a wood stove on Yom Tov. Okay, Eitzim shenashru min hadekel l'toch hatanur bi Yom Tov. So the wood itself is muktza. Presumably, so long as it was part of the tree, you had no access to it. Again, I don't want to go into the details of why it's muktzah and to what extent the laws of muktzah themselves should not be suspended because of ochel nefesh. I mean, if a malachad is mutal mishum ochel nefesh, what about tiltul of muktzah? But no matter. The Gemara says these things are muktzah. What is your option? You need to now heat up the stove. You're not going to have a cold stove on Yom Tov. Marbe aleihem etzim muchanim. You're allowed to take wood from your collection of firewood, from your firewood stock, and make it into a rove, umasika. So then you can add enough wood to have a roll of eitzim that are not muktza, and then you can light the stove.
It wasn't lit when it fell in.
It doesn't matter whether it was lit or it was not lit. I mean,
if it was not lit, could he remove the ones that fell in?
Well, maybe he could remove the ones that fell in, or then let's assume that was slightly on fire. It doesn't matter. Okay. So the Gemara asks, "V'hoka mahapech be'isura?" You're moving around this wood, which is an isur of muktza. So the Gemara says, "Kevan deruba dehetera ninu." Since the majority of the wood is not muktza, is heter, ki kamahapech behetera kamahapech. When he is moving this wood around, he is actually moving heter and not isur. So the Gemara says, v'ho kamavatel isur alachatchila, but you are making a bitul barov deliberately, you're deliberately causing a mixture to render something that was asur mutar, utnan ein mevatlin isur alachatchila, And it says in the Mishnah, according to the Rashi, it doesn't say it in the Mishnah. So this is one of the rare places where the Gemara is quoting a non-existent Mishnah according to the Rashi. Maybe there was some other text that the Gemara had that the Rashi doesn't have. But in any event, our Mishnayot don't have it, and the Rashis didn't have it. And the Gemara quotes this as if it's an actual statement. So the Gemara answers, Hani mili b'dioraita. This principle of Ein mevatlin isur lachatchila only applies to a din d'oraita. So that's what the Gemara's conclusion is. The Gemara's conclusion is that there's a distinction between a deoraita and a darabanan. If you have an isur darabanan, presumably reading this Gemara straight without any, we'll see that many of the Rishonim don't read this Gemara straight. But reading this Gemara straight, the implication is that this rule of Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chatchila only applies to an Isur D'Oraita. Right? So if you had some chicken soup that got mixed up with some milk, you would presumably be allowed to, or some chicken itself which got mixed up with some milk, you would presumably be allowed to put it in your blender and mix it up with a sufficient amount of borscht to make it permissible. Right? That's the conclusion that we would draw from this Gemara. Anything which was an Isur de Rabbanan, the principle of Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chatchila doesn't apply, it only applies to an Isur de Rabbanan. Okay.
What about the wood? Is that the Rabbanan?
The Gemara, it is Mukta. And remember, the Gemara is taking, it's a good question, why is this only a de Rabbanan? According to Rashi, for example, the origin of Mukta at least might be a din de Oraisa of Hachona. So what we would have to say is that certainly the laws of Tiltul of Muktzah, whatever they are, the Gemara takes for granted, are an Isur D'Rabbanan and not an Isur D'Oraita. In any event, the Gemara is assuming that Muktzah, at least this version of the Muktzah, is D'Oraita, is D'Rabbanan, and therefore you're allowed to do it. Okay, that's the... Okay, now let's see. Tosfos already is a little concerned with this broad heter. Utnan ein mevatlin Isur L'Chatchila. The Achal Gach also says, the Medioraita chad v'trei batil. So there is a general principle of the Tul Barov. Hainu hechod v'miyarev memele. That's when the mixture takes place in naturally. Aval l'marvinu b'yadayim l'vitulei asur. But to actually deliberately cause a mixture is prohibited. The hachit nandem sechet rumot sa'ashal truma shenafla l'toch 99 shel chulin v'chazra v'nafla l'toch sa'ashal chulin v'raba aleihem b'shogeg mutar b'meizin asur de'ein mevatlin isur l'chatchila. So Tosfos seems to actually have that as part of the text of the Mishnah. The Rosh claims that there is no such text, and we don't have such a text. U'mishani, the Gemara answers, hani mili b'diraita ahu d'rabanan mevatlin u'mishum hachi hipila asur. The Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chatchila, aval that you should not throw it in originally, aval hocha lo amwinan, hachi, that's the Mishnah in Trumos, it says you're not, mishud b'shapir mevatlan l'chatchila, because this is only an Isur d'Rabbanan. V'im tomar le'el gabi igul d'havi truma d'Rabbanan yosif oleho yivatel. If the type of fruit is not is only the Tumah, is only the Rabbanan, why don't we apply the principle of Kein Mevatlin Isur L'Chatchila to that case? V'yesh lomar, d'hodi amar b'd'Rabbanan Mevatlin, Tosfos says, when the Gemara here says that you are allowed to be Mevatel in Isur L'Chatchila, haynu b'davar she'ikaro m'd'Rabbanan. Tosfos says that this phrase m'd'Rabbanan doesn't mean that it's a d'Rabbanan versus a d'Oraita, but it's only a very limited class of halachot d'Rabbanan. A class, which Tosfos says, has no origins whatsoever, a complete invention, no basis m'd'Oraita whatsoever. Kegon muktza, the ikaro eino ela m'd'Rabbanan. That it has no basis min ha-Torah. Avo v'davar she'ikaro m'd'Oraita. But an isur, which in principle is an isur, has at least a basis m'd'oraita, kagon truma, the ika shum davar d'oraita, kagon dagan tirosh v'yitzhar, for grain and for wine and for olive oil, truma is m'd'oraita. It's extensions to other fruits which might be m'd'rabbanan. But since the notion of truma exists m'd'oraita, afilu b'makom she'eino ela m'd'rabbanan, kagon b'sha'ar perot ein levatel. V'chein mashmur per git hanashed, ahi palga de zeta de tarba de nafal bidi kula, sova nava avashi li sharinu betalpin palgi de zeta, amale avu altas al zel de shuri, ein levatlin, v'amailo hasif elehem ad shishim kidei levatel otam, elo shmamene kevan de ikar isuro midioraita, since the notion of the isur of chelev is midioraita, even though chatzi shiur, according to this opinion, might only be a sur midorabanan, nevertheless, since this is a dorabanan which has a basis in an isur diraita, kugon hecha de ikar kazayit, tachaninach midoleka kazayit, veleka ela isur dorabanan, ein mevatle. So Tosfos is sort of introducing two classes of isur dorabanan here. First class isur dorabanan, and a second class isur dorabanan. That is, those isurim dorabanan, which are extensions of existing concepts diraita, the principle of ein mevatlin isur vachachila still applies, but this other smaller class of completely rabbinical inventions is, according to Tosfos, the principle of ein mevatlin isur lechatchila doesn't apply, and you can be mevatel. That's Tosfos. So what would Tosfos do with chicken soup?
Chicken is the Rabbanan, right?
Chicken is the Rabbanan, but the notion of basar b'chalav is the Oraita. So presumably, reading Tosfos, they would say that if you have some milk that fell into your chicken soup, you would not be allowed to add another large supply of okay. Let's turn to the next page, which is the Ran on this Gemara. Okay. The Ran, the second line, in the Rif, let's first look at the Rif and then at the Ran. The Rif says, V'apal gav v'kaimel an eim v'atlin yisur l'chatchila, hani mili yisur d'oraita, aval yisur d'rabanan v'atlin le l'chatchila. So the Rif doesn't add any qualifications. He simply quotes the Gemara straight, that the rule of ein mevatlin isur l'chatchila applies across the board to isurim derabanan to deoraita, but for an isur derabanan kein mevatlin isur l'chatchila. The Ran disagrees and takes more or less the position that the Tosfos take, but tries to give it a more a better explanation or formulation, and doesn't quite succeed because he can't cover all the cases. Let's take a look. At the very top line, the afal gav, the kaimalon, ein mevatlin isur l'chatchila. The afal gav, the isur abatel b'ruba, hani mila hecha di'irayev memela. That's only if it's a natural admixture. Aval iruvei b'lebitula b'yadayim asur. The hachitnan b'msechet v'umot sa'asher v'umash v'nafal atof tishim v'tishav v'chazov v'nafal atof sa'asher cholin im shogeg mutar v'imezid asur. So he doesn't have this extra phrase there, aval b'isura d'rabanan mevatlile, that you're allowed to be mevatel isur d'rabanan. Keirush, lav b'chol isurei d'rabanan, you're not allowed to be mevatel all isurim d'rabanan, ela b'd'rabanan ki haika amar. Only in the case of a d'rabanan, like this particular example, she'eino ela tiltul ba'alma. Because all that's involved here is an isur of tiltul, and this isur of tiltul, you can be mevatel b'ro. Notice what the Ran is saying. I mean, if the Ran would stop here and not be forced to discuss all the cases where this halacha was mentioned in the Gemara, then he would be very happy, and we would be very happy with this formulation, because what he is saying is that the Gemara is really saying that this is not an issue of so much of being mevatel and isur l'chatchila, but of tiltul min hatzad. In other words, since the whole prohibition that we're worried about is the law of muktzah, of not being allowed to move this particular piece of wood, once you've managed to bury this piece of wood in five or six other pieces of wood, and it's no longer readily identifiable, then really when you're moving it in a form of what might be construed as tiltul min hatzad. It's as if you were moving it with your elbow or with your head or pushing it. In other words, what's involved here to make the heter is not so much as the loss of identity of the isur that you're causing, but a change in the nature of the tiltul of the isur. That's perfectly reasonable and perfectly rational, and then that separates this particular case of muktzah from all other cases of where you might want to apply or not apply the principle of Ein Mevatel Nisur L'Chachila. So if we didn't have any other cases, then the Ran would simply be saying that the law Ein Mevatel Nisur L'Chachila applies universally, but here we're not really applying Bitul Barov, we're applying a Halacha of Tiltul Min Hatzad. As I said, unfortunately this does not cover all cases, and the Ran has to retreat to the position of Tosfos. Let's read further. Ela mitelter alim insumu mikli kali isura va'amaskana sumu umihu. However, the Ran is aware of the fact that he cannot use this as the actual distinction. Bibcharot amrinan de trumat chutzala aretz mevatla barov. Vahainu lomar shemutar la'arev ulevatel ota lachatchila afilu chad betrei. The Bahedya Amwinan Hatam the Ramu Lechada Truma Vatati Dukhul. The Gemara, I actually Xeroxed the Gemara, I think, on the next page if you want to look at it. To save time, I'll just leave that to you, but the actual text is in your possession. The Gemara cites a case of Rabbah who brought some Truma Tchutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael or what have you, and he was deliberately Mavatel it for all. So there, that's not a case of an isur of tiltul, it's a case of an isur, for example, of achilat tumah b'tumah, or what have you. And nevertheless, the rule of bitul barov applies. So therefore, Tavaran basically retreats to Tosus's position. Mihu dafka b'chi hasha ema ikar b'diaraita klav. Debochutza la'aretz leka midi shiyehi chayav b'tumah dvar Torah. Vakilat fe she'eino nuheget b'chol chutz la'aretz kedemuchach b'haypio kebegmar. Aval b'sha'ar isurin d'rabanan ein lan. So the Ran is essentially adopting, retreating to Tosus's position and saying that there are two classes of isurin d'rabanan, one for which ein levatlin isur l'chadchila still applies, and then some subclass which he calls an isurim which have no basis at all in HaTorah, and to them the laws of Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chadchila don't apply, and you can deliberately make a mixture. The problem with the Ran, of course, is, and the problem, first of all, the problem with Tosus is, as was raised already, we've seen several times that the notion of Muktzah is really quite ancient and probably quite on a par with all of the other Isurim. So to say that Muktzah has no Ikal Midrabanan is difficult. And the same applies to the issue of Trumat Chutz La'aretz. We're accustomed to taking for granted, because of the Mishnah in Yadayim and elsewhere, that says that all of the mitzvot that Hapuyot La'aretz apply only to Eretz Yisrael, like Trumot and Masrot and what have you, and all of the, and Shviit and what have you, and all of the other mitzvot apply Bein B'chutz La'aretz, Bein Ba'aretz. But as we've mentioned here a number of times, we have strong historical evidence that the people that were living in Chutz La'aretz, and even as far away as Cilicia, if you remember, that's in Asia Minor, did not think that the laws of Trumot and Masrot didn't apply to them in the Oraita, certainly at least before the Mishnayos time. We discussed this. There's a long article of Gedalia Alon on the laws of Philo, and where he points out that the notion of a limitation of the mitzvot such as Trumot and Masrot to Eretz Yisrael is a relatively late development. Whether we agree with that historical analysis or not, it's difficult to maintain the position that Trumat Chutz La'aretz is a second class Yisur D'Rabbanan, if it's an Yisur D'Rabbanan at all. Okay. Therefore, the simplest explanation is the one that the Rambam takes. Let's take a look to my page 5. Asur levatel isurin shel Torah lachatchila, right? Alacha chafhei. Asur levatel isurin shel Torah lachatchila. Ve'im bitel harezan mutar. Ve'af al pichen. In other words, since the laws of bitul barov apply, the mixture should be permitted. Ve'af al pichen kansu oto chachamim v'yasru hakol. There's a deliberate knas, just as, for example, we encountered a knas in Maaseh Shabbat. If you cook the Shabbat, the Shogeg, you're not allowed to benefit, a machloket of Yehuda and Rameo, the extent of that at any event. But here as well, if a person went ahead and was mevatel isur l'chadchila, it is prohibited to him. V'yirei li, shekevan shehu knas, since this is only a punishment, ein osrin tarovet zu ela al zeha over shebitela isur. It only applies to the person that actually did it. In other words, the mixture itself is basically halachically permissible. A stranger would be able to come in and actually eat it, but the person himself who deliberately undertook this act is not allowed to derive a benefit from it. Okay. Ketzad, hafreisha naflasa ashel orla latoch meyasa'a, shaharei ne'asa hakol, lo yavi meyasa'a acherot yitzaref kidei sheta'ale v'yachad umatayim. V'yabad v'yasa ken hakol mutal, but not to him. Ava, period. Here, I guess the paragraphing is bad. This should be the beginning of the next paragraph. Aval, the isur shel divrehem, mevatlin ha'isur lachatchila. Ketzad, chalav shenafla l'kdera sheyesh bo besar of, v'natan ta'am v'kdera, marber alav besar of, acher ad sheyivatel ha'ta'am v'kol k'yotzeh. So the Rambam is very explicit that if some milk falls into your pot of chicken, you are allowed to be mevatel and isur lachatchila. So he clearly...
Not for the person, again.
No!
This is for anybody.
For anybody, since oaf b'chalav is only in isur de Rabbanan, you are allowed to be mevatel isur lachatchila. The Rambam just simply takes, like the Rif, the Rambam just takes the Gemara straight and says that there's a distinction between an Isur D'Rabbanan and an Isur D'Oraita. For any Isur D'Rabbanan, you're allowed to be Mevatel Isur L'Chatchila, and any Isur D'Oraita, you're not allowed.
Okay. Right. But if you came home and your wife accidentally put some milk in the chicken soup, you can pour some more water into the chicken
soup. She can.
No, but if I did it, then only I would be prohibited to eat.
No, you're allowed to eat the chicken soup.
I meant a regular meat.
Oh, okay. Now if you're talking about beef stew instead of chicken stew, okay. If it fell into beef stew, then you would not be allowed to add it, and your wife would not be allowed to add it, and presumably your family, if you were planning to give it to your family as a meal. In other words, the question that you're asking is, as usual, when it says that, how far does this kenas extend? And, well, we'll see it. When we see the Shulchan Aruch, he tries to come to grips with this issue of how far the Knas extends. I also brought for you the Rambam in Hilchot Terumot, but I'll let you read that for yourself. Let's take a look now in the Shulchan Aruch.
Are we always mevatel by being marbeh, or could you say that you're mevatel by removing the obvious item and saying what remains is mevatel by virtue of the same probabilities of mixture?
Well, that's complicated. If you can remember, what you're talking about here is a situation in which you have a combination. The object of Isur you can remove. The problem is how much has flavor, juice, what have you, has come out of it. And there you need to have shishim against the volume of the original. That's the usual proportion. In other words, if a piece of meat falls in, even after you remove the piece to this, the whole thing will be asur if it's not shishim against the 60 times.
So the starting point here is where it's already invisible.
That's right. The starting point here is where it's already invisible. Let's take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, my page 8. Ein mevatlin isur l'chatchila. Va'afilu nafal l'toch heter she'ein bo shi'ur levatlo. Even if the original mixture was accidental, but it wasn't in the right proportion, Ein mosifin olav kedei levatlo. Avaru vitla. If someone violated this rule and deliberately added to the mixture, or deliberately made a mixture, oshavi ba'ala, im b'shogeg mutar. The im b'meizid asur l'mevatel atzmo im hu shelo. He can't have it if it's his. V'chein l'mish nitvatel b'shvilo. That answers Mel's question as to how far the rule extended. The Shach says the ishargit leilamishim matel bishvilo chayshin and dil maati lemeimal ovei kolchavim ola evet shivat leno hilchach kansinu. The asurim lemcharo gam ken liYisrael acher shelo yahane mimasha bitla ulesha'ar kol adam muta. Let's not go into the details of Chaticha Atzman Asel Levedo, since that would be too complicated to explain in detail, so let's just read the Ramah quickly. Levedavka shenetarev yavesh v'yavesh v'afilu lach lach l'man v'yamash e'eno min bokshar chetika nachasa levedo. Aval Chaticha shebal'a isur, if it's a chunk of meat that absorbed or some drops of milk. Lo mahani shitasif achal kachater the amirin bechatisa nasa nebeila. V'yesh amirin the afilu ma'akom de lo amirin chaticha ratzman nasa lo mahani hatel hatel elam keni tasif kodem shenoda hatarova. Aval in noda hatarova kodem lo mahani mashen tasif achal kach. This is what I was warned you about when you learned the Mishnah I want to skirt this issue. Lefiza yetzarecha chamam hawer levatel isu lachkorim tasafa heter leachar shenoda. Fortunately, velo nahaguchen. We don't take this quantum mechanical attitude practically. Isu shel divrehem, the Shulchan Aruch says, ein ma'arvinotom biyadayim kedei levatlo. V'im asachen v'mezid asu. Aval im nafal miyatzmo v'ein v'heter kedei levatlo ma'ver alav u'mavatlo. So he sort of draws a slight compromise position. He says that the principle of Ein Mevatlin Yisur L'Chadchilah doesn't apply to an Yisur D'Rabbanan across the board like the Rambam, but he limits to the case where the starting point has already been a mixture, but not in sufficient proportions. V'yesh omrim, the Rambam says, the Ein Levatel Yisur D'Rabbanan O Lahusif Olav Kmo V'Yisur D'Raita V'chein Nohagim V'ein L'Shanot. So this is the machloket between Chachmei Sfarad and Chachmei Ashkenaz. The Shulchan Aruch, seeing that the Rif and the Rambam, that's his usual principle for deciding, if two out of the three, he looks at the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh, if two out of the three adopt one position, he follows that position. So this is, of course, one of the main reasons why the Rambam really attacks him from time to time, because that's no way of deciding issues. But in this particular case, since both the Rambam and the Rif have decided that an Isur D'Rabbanon, you can be Mevatel an Isur L'Chadchila, then that's the rule. The Rama disagrees. Okay.
What's the basis of Rama's?
All of the Chachmei Ashkenaz adopt the position of the Tosfos. I mean, he's the Rama is following the position of the Tosfos and the Ram. That's the Ashkenazi tradition, that this rule of, that in the Rabbanon you can be Mevatel Isur L'Chadchila is limited to only some narrow subclass of Isur in the Rabbanon. I want to concentrate on one interesting other question that Danny briefly mentioned, and that is really what does the word of Bitul mean here? In other words, is it only an issue of bitul barov, or what about other devices for destroying the notion of isur? So let's read one famous tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi, my page 17. An everyday housewife's problem. Mike, you have it, my page 17. Sha'alta. V'din mayim sheyesh behem efer, I mikrutan gam lahatir klei basar v'chalav shehudchu behem yachad v'yesh behem mamashot min hamachal. Why this problem arises at the time of the Chacham Tzvi, I don't know, unless there was some change in the widespread use of detergents or soap for cleaning of dishes. I mean, lye or borit is something that goes all the way back to biblical times, we find it mentioned. But soap is something that was introduced in about the 13th or 14th century into Europe, which is much earlier than the Chacham Tzvi, which is the 17th century. But maybe, here we're getting into a little bit more of the history of household technology that some of you might be able to find more out for me. I don't know when detergents used for the washing of dishes and pots became common, but obviously this was a current problem at the time of the Chacham Tzvi, and it did not exist prior. For us, it's a very practical question, right? Can you use your dishwasher? You've thrown in the detergent. Let's assume that you run your dishwasher with detergent every time. Do you have to worry about the fact that if you put in the meat dishes one time and the milk dishes some other time, little bits and pieces of meat or milk or cheese or what have you might still not have drained out of the dishwasher? Is there a problem with using the dishwasher for milchiks and flations? Right? That's his question. So it's a very practical question.
All right? The problem here is, theoretically, that we're not really talking about bitul. We're not trying to use the principle of bitul barov here, that the isur has become negligible in a large quantity, but you're talking about an act of denaturation, right? By adding the detergent, the food, whatever it was, becomes inedible, so therefore loses its identity as any type of isur. That's his question. Tshuva, we'll read it quickly because the gist is very clear. Tshuva b'shach yuradei simon tzadikei k'shal harav b'shulchanar shepasak demi mayim sheyesh behen eifah miklin hotein tam lichgam. The Shulchan Aruch says that water with eifah is considered nine-dam-gam. My question, Dilma Bameika, he gave Shatama Niflat Behem Hufadon, Yashu Kozer and Nifla Bikli, Enos Ove Niapitsi, the Tsarapian. So the Shach was asking Akasha on the Shulchan Aruch, why didn't they use dishwasher detergent in the time of the Torah if that was the problem that was bothering Tosfos? Vani Tamar Lavzal, Mazu Kushia? What kind of a question is that? Why they didn't use Tide or what is it called? What's the dishwasher detergent nowadays? The Kulia. Was there any shortage of denaturing agents? I mean, even if you might say that soap isn't a powerful enough denaturing agent to make it unedible, but they could have used stronger material. So why didn't they do it in naphthalene or something? Ella al kochach the mashmalu la tosvot the matnit and the ktani lahagil yagil akrokai the chol davar sheyavo beesh shekol tashmisho b'chamim ala esh magilo b'chamim ala esh v'din zem mitarat hagala v'lo mishum davar hapogma. The imkain hagala lama liklal yivashlu behem davar hapogvim v'zelo mekrim avatel isu lachatchila. Certainly the law of Ein Ratlin Yisur L'Chadchila is not going to apply to a situation where in fact what you're doing is destroying the Yisur, not being Mevatel the Yisur.
You don't have any product exactly.
So there's no problem, he says, in destroying an Yisur by adding a denaturing agent. The Ein Kan Lo Tam V'Lo Mashmasho Ein Safek De Medi Araita Shari L'Fol Gmo Shari Einu Nehene Lo Mita'amo V'Lo Mikamuto Shari Ein Hatam HaNiflat Nidofne Eklein Nitavet HaShil Kor. The Mishnah was trying to tell us the laws of Isur, Bitul Barov, and Hagala, not the laws of how you can go about, not a course in chemistry or food economics, of how you can go about making something inedible. Furthermore, the fact that the Tosfot didn't give this answer might be some kind of an argument that the Tosfot didn't give any answer. But the Tosfos didn't leave this as an open question. They gave a perfectly sensible answer, not just the one that the Shach would have had them give. So what if they didn't give this answer? Furthermore, you don't really need 60 against the entire volume of the pot. Sheino yotzemi delfio v'einu tabagala, avol b'kli shatef hanitav b'hagala amvinan ba'omid yafer might enough gemine. You can just estimate how much would actually come out, and that's a thin layer along the surface, not necessarily the entire volume of the walls of the pot. Ella da tosus l'svirei hachzvah, v'al yashem l'amido akri kapil amra, d'shar le afilu v'chot mishishim, d'hach yisvir lu l'tosvot, k'ma shkodah l'rash v'atel, ella d'chad amitavti o'flat nakti. The tosus gave one answer out of several others that they could have given, and therefore even if the shach's putative answer would have been reasonable, the fact that tosus didn't choose that is no proof of anything, because they didn't choose a whole lot of other possible answers. V'gad ma shekatav ha-shach d'nzelo n'imtza b'shum posek, eino klum. The fact that the Shach's objection that this was not found anywhere doesn't mean anything. It's obvious. The fact that it wasn't written doesn't mean anything.
ויאפילו אינו פגם גדול דומי עוד הקדירה שאינו אלו בת יומה, שאינו פגומה למעט יותר מבת יומה, כל שכן איך עד המים שהוא פגם גדול ונרגש לכל. אותו כי רוך לחשוב כל הדברים הפוגמים, הלא עוזב מלא עקב החן, ואחריך אוכל יתאם, I mean, the Gemara is not required to give us a list of all the foul-tasting chemical ingredients that can ruin the taste of food. והלכה למעשה יש לפסוק כדברי שולחן ערוך, והכלים שהודחו באפר ומים מותרים לכוח טעם לפגם. וכן בורית, that therefore there's if you've actually used soap in your sink with, when there's meat and milk dishes together, it's permissible because the soap destroys the taste of the whatever little small pieces might actually be present. וגם בורית הנקרא בלשון תלמוד צפון ובלשון ספרד סבון ובלשון אשכנז זייף אינו אוסר כלל. וכדברי הצמח צדק, ואף פרונים של במירו וחילוף אין שומעים לו כי אמת מכחישה ומי יודע מה היו שם גרים דף. I don't know what he suspects the Maharil of having some ulterior hidden purpose of, but he's saying quite clearly that to denature food is permissible, and therefore, in the answer to his original question, if you are if you have some water which is salty water, which happens to have, and in which you happen to have washed both the meat and the milk dishes, they do not render anything prohibited. Okay, clear. Not everyone agrees with the Chacham Tzvi, but we will take his. As usual in this field, we basically follow the Chacham Tzvi whenever he takes a clear-cut position. So maybe we should look at a more modern discussion of a related problem. So let's take a look at my last page.
Was it
page
18?
Huh?
Page 18.
That was 17. No, 18. That's from the Encyclopedia Talmud.
Okay.
The din ha-dishwasher. Okay? The last page. Yeah. The din ha-dishwasher. הנה כבר כתבתי בספרי גרות נושא היוחל זורחיים סימן כפדלת שמה שבתוך ה-dishwasher שהוא על מה שמניחים הכלים צריך שיהיה שניים. You should have two racks. אחד לכלי בשר ואחד לכלי חלב. בעצם הדישוושר, שמשימים בתוכו הדבר שמניחים עליו את הכלים, שהוא רק הדפנות של צבעתם, והגג והתחתית יכולים להשתמש בו לשניהם זה אחר זה. אך לא כתבתי שם הטעם משום דבר פשוט. והבעצם הוא נותן טעם, בא נותן טעם. What you're worried about is that the walls or the racks will have absorbed some meat and then afterwards again be polite. שמותר מבשר לחלב ואיבך, ומפורש ברמסים מצדקי סגימו עוד יותר, ואפילו באותו המים שרקו בו הכלי בשר, מותר להדיח גם את הכלי החלב, אחרי שנטלו משם הכלי בשר, אם לא היה בעין, או שהיה שם מים שישים נגד הבעין. Even to use the same water if there was nothing present or it was in minuscule amounts. וכל שכן בכאן שהם מים אחרים, certainly here, when the next load, when the milk of the dish is coming to the dishwasher, it's a new water. אבל מה שאני מצריך שעל מה שמניחים הכלים צריך שיהיו אחרים, separate racks, הוא מטעם שמצוי שישאר דבר בעין מהבשר ושומן, ייגע בהכלי החלב וכן איפכה, שאז כשיבוא המים שהיה צלדת בהם יבליעו בהכלי חלב ואיפכה. There might be some actual fat or bits and pieces of meat stuck in the rack and they will come in contact, they will touch. ואין לסמוך על מה שהמים ידיח עדיהם, וכיוון שמצוי שנשאר, ואין הדרך לעיין אחר כזה, שלכן אף שיחליט שיעין היתר, יש לחוש שישכח, כמו דבר צימן צדיקה לספס, אז כן בחגב נלחילה, ולכן צריך שניים, אחד לכלי בשר ואחד לכלי חלב.
Only the
racks. אבל אין לחוש על מה שגם בדפנות יקר לפעמים איזה בעין, כיוון שאינו נוגע בכלים, והמקף מביא המים משם את הבעין, הוא יותר מהרבה פעמים שישים שלא שייך לעשור. אבל מחמץ לפסח אסור וכן מאיסור להתר אסור שאי אפשר להגיד להם שאין פורצלין. I don't know what he wants with porcelain. I don't think they, maybe 40 years ago they made dishwashers with porcelain, and even if they did make dishwashers with porcelain, we have the tshuva of the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, which we can rely on, who says that porcelain chinaware, glazed things don't absorb. So even though we don't follow Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in practice, too much. At least some people don't follow Rabbi Yaakov Eben didn't practice too much. Nevertheless, here the walls of the dishwasher aren't coming in contact with anything. My experience is that I never see anything stuck in the rack. Sometimes some things are stuck in the container that holds the silverware, little bits and pieces. Mostly, if anything is stuck anywhere, there's some chunks that are down at the bottom near the drain of the dishwasher. But in any event, we have the tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi that says that you don't have to worry about that if you're using dishwasher detergent all the time, which certainly will denature any of the stuff that's in there.
Well, even according to this, if you had just one rack and rinsed it between uses, there must be.
Yeah, he says that he doesn't want to rely on that because people won't be too careful.
When they clean it, they run the dishwasher cycle and everything?
He says that Russia can speak for himself. He said what he said. I think that I don't see why one has to even be that much. That is, we've seen explicit. If all the time that you run the dishwasher, you're using dishwasher detergent, I think that's true. It's only rarely that you run the dishwasher without dishwasher detergent. Then you have the heter of the Chacham Tzvi, who says that for the little bits and pieces, right? So we read it again, the language of the She'ela. He's aware of the existence of little pieces, right? But then Mayim Sheyesh Behem Eifer, Imit Pritam Lefyan, Hakeh Chay Basav HaChalav Shulchu Behem Yachad, V'yesh Behem Mamad.